views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission in life is to help you stand in your power at work, at home, and at play. Today's show is focused on standing in your power despite a diagnosis. There are certainly some situations in life that make us more susceptible to giving our power away, even if you've learned how to stand in your power in other areas of your life, and receiving a diagnosis for you or a loved one that you're personally responsible for, like your child, your parent, your hubby, is definitely one of those times. When you receive a diagnosis, depending on how long a trek you've been on to get to that point, there's often an initial sense of relief. It's like thinking, okay, so I'm not crazy. I knew something was off. This is quickly followed by emotional upheaval in the form of fear, self-doubt, uncertainty, panic, and thoughts such as, what do I do? This can't be happening. I did not sign up for this. These thoughts, coupled with these intense feelings, cause you, quite naturally, to look for a lifeline, something to grab onto in that moment to help you survive. So when a person is standing there in a white lab coat, looking every bit the expert, and saying something to the effect of, I know what to do, and I'll tell you, so all you need to do is listen, it's natural for you to see them as that line and grab on. The problem is that in that moment, you are handing your power over to somebody else and asking them to know what's best for you. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to listen to them. It's when you give them full control and authority over all decisions and then blindly do as you're told that problems can arise, especially when your gut or intuition is telling you something else. Worse yet, by the time you're ready to take some of your power back, maybe because you've now had time to think about it, your heart is no longer in your throat, you know, you're out of that state of panic, maybe you've done some research now, at that point, it often feels like it's too late to take back your power. Now, this happens typically for one of three reasons. The first might be because you've already agreed to a treatment plan. It's been a few weeks, and you don't feel like you really have a good reason to change your mind now, because how do you explain that your intuition is telling you that you don't want to do it that way? The second is that your support system, your family, your parents, your best friend, they might have completely aligned with the plan already. And because they really want you to be well, they really want to believe what the doctor is saying. And so they're not willing to let you back out. They want you to take that prescription, to undergo that treatment, or to have that surgery. The third is that you've probably by now tapped into the advice mill. You've run into those people who are telling you that, oh yeah, that happened to so-and-so, or that happened to my husband, or that happened to my cousin. And they start telling you their stories. And these stories might make you start to question why you're questioning the expert. So you get my drift. It can feel like you do not have a really good reason to switch from the doctor making the decisions to you being in charge. But I'm here to tell you that there are things you can do at any point along the way. at the time of the diagnosis, a week later, 2 years into the process, it doesn't matter when. Taking back your power is always an important and healthy thing to do. And so that's what I want to share with you today. 5 tips for taking back your power despite a diagnosis. Tip number 1, know that you are the expert on the topic of being you. You are the only one who knows every intimate detail about you. What you ate yesterday, how well you're sleeping, what turns you on, what makes you crazy, the traumas that you've faced. That's not to say there isn't more for you to become aware of. We're always making fresh discoveries about ourselves. But even still, you always have a front row seat to any new information that comes up. On top of that, you were born with everything you need in order to handle the challenges you face in life. Now, this doesn't mean that you know everything about whatever it is that you're currently facing, but it does mean that you have access to resources to help you deal with it. Now, unfortunately, most people have disconnected from their ability to access what they know. So this statement can feel very challenging to believe. The great news is, you don't need to believe me about this in order to take back your power. You just need to be willing to look at the whole picture. In the same way that our medical system has lost its effectiveness by separating the human body into sections and then forgetting that they all affect each other. So if you go to your endocrinologist and you start talking about headaches, the endocrinologist might say, well, that's not connected to your kidneys. Go see your neurologist. And in that same way, many people have lost sight of the fact that they are the only ones who have access to the full picture when it comes to their situation. There's always more going on in your life than just your current ailment. So for example, if you went to a doctor because you had a sore toe, and at the end of the appointment, she actually gave you a prescription for Valium to help you sleep because you have bags under your eyes and you just kept yawning through the whole appointment, she's basing that prescription on the information that she has. So to her, your sore toe must be keeping you up at night. You know that your exhaustion is because your neighbor just got a dog and the dog won't stop barking, and so you haven't slept for 2 nights. But until you tell her that, she's going to do the best assessment she can given the details that she has. The point, only you know what's going on in all other areas that make up your life. You know your lifestyle, your relationships, your support system, your stressors, your diet. And you also are the expert on your spiritual development, your emotional well-being, your personal traumas, and so on. You are the only person who knows all the pieces that make you, you. And that makes you the expert in the room. This does not mean that you must have all the answers and know the best way to handle things. In fact, nobody, not even the doctor, knows that. And yet we often expect that from them. But it does mean that you should be the head of your health team. In other words, every piece of information should be shared with you. And the final decision for how things will proceed needs to always be yours. This is also true when it comes to young children. Until that child is mature enough to head their own health team, if it's your child, you will need to lead for them. Now, I just caution you, though, that depending on their age and how verbal they are, you want to talk to them about what's going on. Notice how they light up at some things, retract from others, and really explore that with them if you can. Your connection to them can help you feel the resonance for them if you remain open and out of a fear type state. When you hand your power over to the doctor, the specialist, or anybody else, you're setting yourself up for pain and misery. In truth, you are also setting the doctor up for failure, since they are making decisions based on what they've learned to be true, not on what's best for you. Refuse to give your power away long-term to an outside expert, just because he or she is wearing a white lab coat and using big and confusing words. Even if they're really friendly, take the time to notice the sticky points or snags, as I like to call them. Ask questions, do research, insist on answers that feel right or that you understand. Paid experts don't always have your best interest at heart, and they too are affected by limiting beliefs. So what can you do? I mean, if you're the expert, well, that's what tip number two is all about. Tip number two is reconnect with your natural guidance system and let it lead the way. Your natural guidance system is something that you were born with and then have quite likely spent the rest of your life learning to ignore. This is the part of you that has access to way more information than you think you know, because it holds more than what you've learned in this lifetime. Your natural guidance system is always talking to you with body cues, even things like goosebumps or angel bumps, as I like to refer to them. Signs, you know, where you start seeing the same words on different things, maybe on a billboard, maybe on a license plate, maybe on someone's shirt, these kind of signs, synchronicities, even your feelings and intuitive hits are part of your natural guidance system. The easiest place to start reconnecting is with your feelings, since most of us know about them, even if we don't listen to them or use them properly. Feelings are signals. They're meant to help you choose a direction, not to tell you how you should respond. Learning how to notice your feelings, how to process them, and how to let them go is a key piece to regaining your health and one of the reasons that they come up in so many of my podcasts. Another way to reconnect with your natural guidance system involves tuning back in to your inner wisdom. This includes things like your intuition, your dreams, your higher self, and even your spirit guides. When people are disconnected from their higher self, the ego or human side of them will be put in charge of their experience, which is much like asking the household pet to run the home. It's simply not equipped to do that. This results in the ego's buddies, known as inner critic and patterns of self-destruction, waking up and helping the ego to run the show. Now, not surprisingly, this negatively affects a person's health, their resiliency, and their overall happiness. Tuning back into your natural guidance system takes time, trust, and patience. Now, you can go it alone, although it definitely takes more effort and discipline to do it that way, or you can team up with someone like me to help guide you through the shortcuts and all the processes. Tip number three, use your energy to help you heal rather than to drain your resources. Becoming aware of how you are using your energy and what you can do to use it to strengthen you and plug the drains is always important, but especially when you need to heal. It's so easy to put your energy into that if only thinking. If only I hadn't gotten that immunization. If only I hadn't driven that way home. If only I had taken him to the doctor sooner. If onlys are an example of a time when you are pouring all your energy into wishing you could change the past. The flip side, which is just as troublesome, is putting your energy into worrying about the future. What if? How do I know what's the best answer? Now, this is especially true when the doctor starts sharing possible outcomes and you find yourself fretting about what might happen next. This is a very human thing to do, so you don't need to get mad at yourself for doing it. But if you can learn to recognize when it's happening and then just allow it to flit on through, because you can't stop those thoughts. They come up on their own. And just let it go. I sometimes tell people, pretend it's a balloon with helium in it and let it just float away. Then you're going to find it easier to tune into those things that you really can control. So when you learn how to accept your reality and shift from energizing the problem to actually opening up to possible solutions, you will be leaps and bounds ahead of the person who is busy fighting what they have heard. If you can accept the idea that life's challenges are done for you, not to you, They're not a punishment. You don't need to take them personally. It becomes a lot easier to accept, refocus, and carry on. I love to share a parable about an ancient Chinese farmer who refuses to judge things as good or bad, but instead wants to wait and see how they turn out. So his most common line through that whole story is, maybe good, maybe bad, we'll see. And there's something really important to learn from that. Events are neutral. We decide how good or bad they are, and then we base our reaction on what we have decided. You access the power of this tip when you're able to stay neutral despite what you are hearing. So a quick tip that I like to share with people for this is to replace disempowering statements like, this is terrible, I can't do this, I have no choice, I don't know what's going to happen, with more empowering ones, starting with, I wonder. So I wonder what this diagnosis really means. I wonder how I can make this situation more tolerable. I wonder what I'm meant to learn from this. I wonder how I can help my child with this. Tip number 4, peel off labels and throw them away. Earlier this year, I interviewed a woman named Naomi Carmona Morsehead. And as she told me her story, I realized that she provided a beautiful real-life example of this tip in action. Naomi was diagnosed with a heart condition at 3 years old and lived most of her life wearing that label, believing that she would never do things most other people take for granted. Naomi shared her inspiring story with us, which started when at 58 years old, she made the decision to do a handstand. Now, that's a total no-no for heart patients, but it led to her climbing 61 mountains in 3 years, including the highest freestanding mountain in the world at 19,341 feet. Talk about removing barriers from your life. So when you receive a diagnosis for you or your loved one, open up and receive the benefits that information provides, which is answers. It helps you know what areas to Google or to check out at the library. And then remove the label and throw it away. Now, I'm not saying you should bury your head in the sand and pretend the diagnosis never happened. What I am saying is that you can use that information for guidance while still allowing yourself to grow in every possible way. Remember, no one knows you as well as you do. And along with that, no one should be allowed to create limiting beliefs about who you are and what you are capable of. Labels restrict the area you get to play in. They limit your potential and can stop you from ever moving out of your comfort zone. We all have something called an operating reality, which determines what we can see and what we can't see, what we're kind of blinded to. And so learning how to look at things from different perspectives so that you can really get a true idea of what's possible and opening up your operating reality as much as possible is far better for you than stuffing yourself into the box your diagnosis came in. Tip number 5. Become your number one fan and advocate. Whether the diagnosis belongs to you, your significant other, your parent, or your child, putting yourself first is always going to be super important for you to do. What do you need to do for yourself so that you can be at the top of your game? Now, I get it. When someone you love is sick, especially when it's your child, you're likely going to drop everything to make sure that you're there for them in every way possible. I completely understand that, and I would do the same thing. But what happens when your child is given a diagnosis that is likely going to be with them for life? Or when your partner or mother receives a diagnosis that could span a space of several months or even a year? The truth is, you are not going to be any good to anyone else if you allow yourself to get completely run down in an effort to help someone else through a crisis. You have to learn how to take care of yourself while you take care of others. Otherwise, at some point, you're going to break down and be unable to help anyone, including yourself. I interviewed Tamara Green and her husband, David Dashinger, back in January of 2018. David, a guy who prided himself on being super healthy, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 4 days after their 13-year-old son was diagnosed with Lyme disease. For Tamara especially, this could easily have been a time where she ran herself ragged caring for her guys and ignoring what her body needed from her. Thankfully, both her and David recognized that this would not be a good way to go, and they stayed very tuned in to what was needed to look after themselves throughout the whole process. In the end, this experience helped them become aware of and question their limiting beliefs, to practice using self-care tools like meditation, yoga, and mindfulness to stay grounded and calm, to learn and implement many new health strategies into their lives, and even to come up with a way to share all this information through a really wonderful book to help others with their cancer journey. Now, they have an amazing story that I bring up now because, to me, it really shows why, when a diagnosis occurs, it is imperative that you figure out how to bring those pieces that recharge your batteries into your daily life and make a point of looking after yourself first, whether the diagnosis is for you or someone you love. So here's a few quick ideas on how you might do this. Think about what you need to be at the top of your game and figure out how to fit in even little bits of it into each and every day. It might mean bringing your own healthy food with you to the hospital rather than eating the cafeteria fare. It might mean going for walks outside while your partner goes through a treatment. It could involve stretches, meditation, or yoga moves that can be done in a waiting room or bathroom. It might mean learning to journal and carrying that book with you to access at any time. Knowing how to gauge your stress levels is also a really important part of this tip. So if you don't know how to do this, it is time to learn. I tell you how to do it in my complimentary Secrets for Being a Vibrant Woman that you can easily get off of my website, but I'm sure there's many other people out there that can give you tips as well. Be super honest with yourself about what works for you. Don't force yourself to have a bath every evening if deep down you hate baths and are only doing it because other people suggest that it's a great self-care tool. Open yourself up to receiving help. Ask for it and have a list ready so when people offer to help, you actually have ideas you can suggest to them, like cutting your grass. Hey, it would be awesome if you could stop by my place and cut my grass this week. Or if you could pick my son up from school on Wednesday, or maybe your daughter could walk my dog. So having these kind of ideas helps that other person know how they can help you and can make a huge difference in the amount of help that you receive. Receiving help is often far more difficult than any of us would ever expect. So thinking about this one and being ready to offer ways people can help you is really a great tool to have. Finally, let go of things that just aren't that important. And whenever possible, delegate those that must get done. It's not always easy to remember all 5 of these ideas when you receive a diagnosis. Never mind practice them on a regular basis, but becoming aware of them is a giant step in the right direction and will help them pop to mind when you need them most. So in summary, if you can remember that you are in fact the expert in your own world, that you've come equipped with a natural guidance system that you can tune into that will help you access your inner wisdom and really get a lot more information than you can even get from the internet. And then remember that you are in charge of where you spend your energy. And so you can decide where you're going to put it, where you're going to use it, to worry about the past, to fret about the future, or right now in that very powerful moment where you have all the control. Throw away those labels. Just peel them off, throw them away, use them in whatever you can, and look after yourself just as well, if not even better, than you would anybody else. You will find that the diagnosis doesn't have to be as incredibly difficult as it might be feeling right now. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.